the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Lake Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Lake Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Fishbowl Radio Network. FBRN.us. Jump in.
Good evening, everybody. This is your girl Kim on You Better Call Kim. And tonight we're going to talk to you all about depression. But before we get the show started tonight, just want to take a moment, take a breath, kind of get relaxed. And we have in our studio tonight my crew. Because I, as I said before, you know, it takes a village. And I brought my village, my support system, my safety net, my dad, Bishop Cleophas Pearson.
Thank you.
He's in the house tonight. And tonight I even brought back my my producer, because I was struggling last week, you all. I was here by myself and was trying to get it all done and was hitting the wrong button. So tonight I brought my producer, Mr. Danny Booker Jr.
What's up?
So we going to do this thing. We're going to have a good time. And even though depression is a subject that nobody really wants to talk about, we want to kind of avoid it. We really do have to talk about it because it happens to a lot of people. And we want you to open up. We're going to open up the mic. We're going to let you kind of interface with us on Facebook. So if you're online right now and you want to talk to me, I have my Facebook open. And I'm going to give you the, go to the the Cononeer Counseling Clinic. If you don't know where that is, then just search for Cononeer Counseling Clinic and go on there. So if you can't get a call in, I want you to go ahead and interface with me there. I'll be looking for your posts, be looking for your comments. And you can either message me there or just send me a little note. So let's get started.
All right.
What you like? How was your day today?
Oh, it's been very great. I'd just like to greet the audience tonight and thank the good Lord for another day and to be a guest on the show tonight. And always good to know that there's an audience, an unseen audience, that listening and try to say a word that will lift you and help you somewhere along the way.
Great. Glad to hear that, Dad. So tonight we're going to talk about depression.
Depression.
I have a few statistics here because depression is actually more prevalent in our community than we realize, because it occurs to us in so many different ways. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, an estimate of 15.7 million adults ages 18 or older has had at least one major depressive episode in the past year.
Hey, did you not get
settled
yet?
I see y'all online.
So I'm just checking to make sure we're online here, that we're actually being heard, so I had to call in some help. But as I was saying, that 15.7 million adults aged 18 or older in the United States had at least one major depressive episode. That basically broke down into, by ethnicity, 6.3% were Mexican American. 6.0% were African American, and 14.8% was white. So basically, with those statistics, it basically kind of told us that there's a lot of minorities, both African Americans and blacks, that are suffering from depression. One out of 20 Americans suffer from depression. When I hear those words, I hear that one out of, I always imagine that I'm in a room, or, you know, I take it to the church and I think about the congregations that are in the church and how, you know, a pew would probably sit about, how many people does a pew sit in an average church? Probably about 50 people or less than that.
About 20
people. So out of every pew in every church, at least one person sitting on that pew has had a depressive episode. That's pretty huge. Mm-hmm. It means a lot of people are walking around with feelings of hopelessness and helplessness. Mm-hmm. And really, they don't have to. They don't have to, because there are ways that we can actually overcome depression, and we want to talk about that tonight. So let's talk about what is depression. Mm-hmm. What is depression? According to our manual that we use in the clinical setting, depression is marked with presence of sadness, emptiness, irritable moods that last for two or more weeks. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, if you've been feeling sad and if you've been feeling really anxious and having just this empty pit in your stomach, those who are depressed know what I'm, who have experienced depression, know that empty pit in your stomach. They know what that feels like. And if that lasts for more than 2 weeks, that means that clinically you're mm-hmm. having a depressive episode and there's something that needs to be done about it. Mm-hmm. So there are also, you know, different descriptions are different types of depressive disorders. There is a disruptive mood disorders. Now, disruptive mood disorders actually happens in children, happens in kids, and it's related to temper outbursts or rage or physical aggression. And you know, we see these kids often where we see them, they have we see them and they're acting real out of control, really out of control. And to the extent where nobody can handle them. I mean, we see them in the schools where it's just, they're just acting like heathens almost. Like they want to fight everybody and they want to be aggressive toward teachers and every, you know, other people. You know, I think sometimes we may be dealing with some kids that are depressed. There's a lot for them to be depressed about, isn't it, Dad? Mm-hmm. There's a lot for them to be depressed about.
Oh, yeah, every day. This society is so depressed with the chaotic situations until we all are affected by it. And the solution that is available to us to help us along the way, we need to keep ourselves aware of it. And through counseling and help from one another is a mighty source in which we can maintain a healthy attitude and a mental perspective on life.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, with these kids, if you find, you know, when kids are in homes or in areas where, in situations where they can't control it, mm-hmm. you know, parents are either working too much or parents are absent, mm-hmm. or even if they're present, parents might be suffering, and so that trickles down to the kids, and the kids end up having some symptoms of depression mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And that usually is shown up. That usually shows up with a mood disorder. It shows mm-hmm. up in their mood. It shows up with them being irritable, them being angry, and having a lot of rage. So that's one. Type of depression that we actually see in the urban community. You know, we see these kids and we walk around and we say, well, what, you know, we go to the store and the kids just, we think they don't have no respect. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what we've kind of yes. labeled it. Yes. Yes. Disrespectful. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to show respect. Mm-hmm. Well, there are some that don't know how to show respect, but there are also some that are living in some very difficult situations.
Right.
And
right.
what they're truly suffering from is depression.
Right, right.
Yeah, right. The other type of depressive disorder is major depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. And it's marked with feelings of hopelessness most of the day and mm-hmm. nearly every day mm-hmm. over the past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're at a time, you feel like you're at a point in life where something has happened and you've gone for 2 weeks feeling hopeless, mm-hmm. sad, mm-hmm. can't get out of the bed, can't lift yourself up,
right.
going to work and you're feeling like, you know, you're crying all the way to work and then you smile when you get there and then you cry all the way
right.
home.
Right.
You know, that's a sign of major right. depression.
Right.
If it lasts 2 weeks straight and you're feeling this way every single day, mm-hmm. that's a big, big sign right. that you're suffering right. with major depression.
Right.
And then there's also persistent depressive disorder. Now, this is kind of, this is marked with feelings of hopelessness and sadness over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Ooh, that's sad.
Can you imagine somebody living mm-hmm. for 2 years
mm-hmm.
with that sense of hopelessness?
Yes, yes.
You know, some of us don't even know what that, they've lived that way so long that they don't even know what hope, the difference
mm-hmm.
of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I walk around and I see people in the stores and kind of on the street, and they look like they've just given up on life.
Yes,
they just stopped trying.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you spoke of one particular mark of the presence of depression, and I like to mention this from the children perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Children depressed and having to deal with that, the lack of care that we can't see that child suffers from, the nurturing and the just having the presence of the parents and knowing that somebody got the back. Many kids have to go through the day not knowing, not feeling the parents nurturing of them. And they just grow up with a lack of feeling secure. And this can cause them to have that mental sadness that we adults sometimes can't detect until they get older. And then it begin to show where the lackness of that care and concern had been neglected down through the years. And so when they get to a certain age, they feel that emptiness. And then they go to trying to feel that through some source. And we, I've learned down through the years that you have to deal with these issues on a caring base, supported base. And if that person that is suffering, a teenager, young adults, you know, they need support. They need somebody that can listen to them, somebody that can hear what they're saying rather than criticize them and putting them down, you know, and telling them they are wrong. But you need to listen to what they are saying, because what they're saying is what they're feeling. In some way you can bridge that gap with a personal communication and connection, and that's a resource that we have to offer that medication can't give.
Mm-hmm.
And I do thank God for it today, because it has helped my character and my everyday life and trying to conduct a life that demonstrate what the Bible says, a merry heart does good like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can share that if you can find some comfort within yourself, then you're going to, it's going to make a difference in your everyday lifestyle.
You said a whole lot there, because you're absolutely right. If we don't get to some of these kids early, then they will turn to some other way to self-medicate.
Right.
Usually that's something that doesn't work out, and that's when you start to see those, what we call in counseling, comorbidity disorders, where you see people with depression and substance abuse disorders.
Right.
If we could get to them a little earlier,
yes.
When we start to see them acting out and, mm-hmm. and identifying, okay, this is a they're exhibiting symptoms of depression,
right.
Then get them in counseling early, get them with some resources early, mm-hmm. maybe we can stop the substance abuse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's something that we can't ignore. We can't just continue to kick them to the side or just label them as being just disruptive and disorder. But we have to really be able to identify the cause,
right.
Identify the problem, and address it.
Right.
Address it with love. Address mm-hmm. it with our support.
Mm-hmm.
Address it with our understanding and our ability to listen to them. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's absolutely on point.
Yes.
And yeah. I love what you said when you said that's something that medicine can't do.
Yeah, yeah. The other mark that you mentioned was emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think of emptiness, there's a space that's unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to listen to a person to know that they are looking for something and seemingly can't find it. And I say this to the victim, if you are suffering with such thing as a emptiness, your number one problem is to learn how to listen. If you can listen to people that are communicating to you, 9 times out of 10, you will hear yourself. And by you hearing yourself, then you learn how to talk about what you hear about who you are. And the person that is counseling you got to be a good listener to hear the hurt,
mm-hmm.
the burden that you are carrying. So always when you're dealing with your personal situations in life and talking to someone else, always seek that person who can listen to you
mm-hmm.
and hear what you have to say. And the counsel is the gateway for you to release the blockage that you that's holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just always good to know that when you feel that emptiness, that lacking of something, that there's something that you can fulfill that with. And mm-hmm. if you take time to listen, you can mm-hmm. hear the answer.
Yeah. I want to open up our lines again. I didn't give you all the number. So, hey, just remember, you can call in and be a part of this conversation. I know we have quite a few wonderful counselors out there, wonderful ministers out there, people that understand depression, people that have gone through and overcome depression. So we want you to be a part of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So call in at 214-717-4678. Again, that number is 214-717-4678. We want to hear from you. I believe that there are things that we can share among each other that can provide healing. We are here on the radio, but we're not the expert of everything. We're just opening the forum
right.
so that we can start talking about these issues in a safe place, the safest place you can find, which is your home.
Right.
And we can talk about these issues and bring them to the forefront so we can overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to live with the mental illness, and actually can start to focus on our mental health
mm-hmm.
so that we can be free and mentally healthy.
Right.
So, call in, 214-717-4678. So, Dad, you did mention here talking about being able to listen,
mm-hmm.
having someone in your life that can listen,
mm-hmm.
because you know one thing I like to say when I'm dealing with people who have that space of emptiness
mm-hmm.
is you know I am not the expert of their lives.
Right.
I'm not the expert. They know exactly
right.
more about what they're going through.
That's right.
And even and to the extent of how they're going to get through it.
That's right.
Than I could even ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And a good listener has the ability to sit and listen to them as they process it
right.
and work through it all.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you've been spending a whole year. A whole year. If you are one that could be diagnosed mm-hmm. with persistent depressive disorder,
mm-hmm.
and you have spent a year feeling
yes.
empty,
yes.
hopeless, helpless, you know, I would imagine that if you just had at least an hour
right.
of somebody to just hear you out,
yes.
how free
yes.
that would feel,
yes.
how open you would become.
Yes.
And so, you know, we want to, that's exactly what how we're going to overcome depression.
Mm-hmm.
Want to move on here and talk about how do we diagnose as a counselors and as mental health professionals in diagnosing these. Everybody, you know, it's real easy to diagnose mm-hmm. depression. We kind of throw that around, mm-hmm. that word around so easily. Oh, she's depressed. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, that word gets thrown around so much
mm-hmm.
that we, it actually loses its fizz. It loses its importance. But there's, you know, there's different levels of depression.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And it's,
yes.
It doesn't, and it could go from having one symptom, having one symptom, to actually having six or seven symptoms. And so I wanted to talk about the different, depression, the different ways or different symptoms that you have with depression. And so, you know, I mentioned here that you can have the feelings of hopelessness, and that's a common thing.
Yes, that one
is common.
Yes.
In all of these, different types of depression, hopelessness is the common. But then, again, like I mentioned with the disruptive mood disorder, you would that would actually include feeling angry, irritable, acting out. And typically you'll see that with kids. And as I mentioned earlier, you see that with kids because with kids, they don't have that control factor. They don't really know. They don't have that control factor. They don't know that they can't. They shouldn't act out that way. And really, that's the only way they know how to express themselves. They don't have the vocabulary to articulate the words that of why they are depressed. They don't have it. It's not. They don't have the mental capacity to be able to express why they are depressed, what's going on with them. And so they end up acting out the depression through their anger. The other symptoms, so in order for a person to have disruptive mood disorders, they would need to show some sense of some rage, some whether it's verbal or physical. They would have to show that. They would also need to show this in more than one place.
It comes through so many different behavior display of yourself.
In schools? At home?
At home.
Outside?
If it's not something that you can leave at home and come back and pick it up, it's something that go with you wherever you go. And it can be affected in everything that you involve yourself in, and unless you detect that, it can become, you can become dominant to it, and it can control you. And that's why that my daughter here in this ministry is have come to a point in life that there is some help, and really we have more reason to seek help then we have to succumb to our feelings. Just every day we have resources that we can reach out to. And if you learn to seek help or just put yourself in a better position of receiving it, because sometimes your body just intercept good environment of feelings and energy is what I was trying to say. Just the environment energy that you intercept that can help you when you're around the right people. Sometimes it don't have to be in the conversation, just be in the midst of them. That's where the fellowship of social life comes in. And it's just so many areas that if that depression caused you to isolate yourself, just think about what you are isolating yourself from when you can't mix and mingle with people. Everything that you do can be a source of help to you.
All right, we're going to take a break here for a second. And so I appreciate that, Dad. That was some great stuff here. We want to take a break and take care of a little business here. So remember, we're online. We're online and we want to hear from you. So please give us a call at 214 717-4678.
From the front.
All right, you guys, we are back. We are back. And we're continuing our discussion about overcoming depression.
Mm-hmm.
Overcoming depression. We don't want nobody to be depressed. Mm-hmm. We don't want to leave anybody behind.
Right.
We want everybody to come into a place where they can enjoy this wonderful life that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as mental health professionals, as professional helpers, as clergy, people, as life coaches, we all are working together with the same mission, which
right.
is to
yeah.
bring people into a place of life, a
mm-hmm.
place where they can live life abundantly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where they can see themselves as God see them, and they can begin to experience the goodness and the joy and the hope that God has provided for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we here, again, we were just talking about the different, not the different types of disorders, but how these disorders are diagnosed. So
mm-hmm.
as I was mentioning, with disruptive mood disorders, it's not just about having being aggressive or being having rage. It's also, you know, something that you see as a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
With children and young people, you see them, they just mad all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have to, you would see this, they have more than one of these symptoms, so that we don't get in the habit of saying, oh, well, you know, this person is depressed, when they really aren't depressed, or they just having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to be educated, and we want you to be aware of when it is actually depression and when it is not.
Right.
And
right.
so, again, with major depressive disorder, you're going to see other symptoms besides just being sad.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to also see their sadness impacting their quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're not able to get out of bed.
Yes.
They're not able to eat. They lose their appetite. Or they just overeat. Sometimes you see the opposite. It's just, you know, they eating everything.
Yeah, yeah.
They have low self-esteem. Just can't see themselves as being happy or okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens, this seemed to be a continuous thing for them over a period of time. They just can't seem to get out of a funk. You
mm-hmm.
know that you heard, you know people like that.
Yes.
They just can't seem to pull themselves up
right.
by the boots and make themselves move a little farther.
Mm-hmm.
They may laugh a little bit, but when it really comes down to them experiencing the full quality of life,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't seem like they can pull that together.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens over a couple of weeks. You know, one might think that this could happen when a passing of someone, when, you know, as a,
right.
a part of the bereavement process, but that's different.
Right, right.
When you're in grief, that's different,
different yeah.
than when you're actually depressed.
Depressed, right.
I mean, depression,
right.
it will impact your life in a way where, as I mentioned earlier, you may cry your way to work,
mm-hmm.
be happy and laugh and put on a good face while you at work, but you crying your way back home.
Right, right.
That's depression.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you see they have multiple levels. So
right.
when you see someone with two symptoms, just
mm-hmm.
basically two
mm-hmm.
symptoms, they're going to say that that's mild depression.
Yeah, right.
If they have three or more symptoms, they're going to say that's moderately depressing.
Right, right.
If they have four or five symptoms, they're going to say that's moderately severe.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see someone with five or more symptoms, it's debilitating.
Yes, yes.
And we don't want you to, we don't want anyone to get to four or five steps.
Right, right.
We want to catch it when it's two steps.
Right.
Two symptoms.
Right.
When you're just
right.
kind of feeling that little,
yes.
little fatigue that's
yes.
dragging you down.
Yes.
And it's happening over a period of time.
Yes.
We want to urge our audience
right.
to get some help.
Right.
As Bishop said earlier, find somebody who will listen to you.
Yes.
Find
yes.
somebody who will allow you to process what's going on with you
right.
so that you can kind of correct that message,
mm-hmm.
correct that thought, so that you can start to live a better, a more quality life
right.
While you're going through whatever you're going through.
Right.
The other thing that I wanted to make a note of when we're talking about depression is this word called episodes.
Episodes
means that it's something that occurred. It occurred. Mm-hmm. It's not just I feel bad.
Right.
It's not just, you know, I'm weak.
Mm-hmm.
I can't cope.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one thing that we in the minority community have, we use that as a way to avoid seeking professional help, is somehow we can wrap the idea of having depression or any kind of mental disorder or emotional challenge as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I want to make sure that we drive that home today, that depression is not a sign of weakness.
No.
It is an episode. It is wrapped around some type of episode.
Right.
Something happened.
Right.
That got you to that place.
Right.
And if you have lived with that for two or more years, you may have forgotten what has happened.
Right.
And it could be a whole lot that has happened.
Right.
But something happened to get you to this feeling of hopelessness.
Right.
And if you were able to listen to my show last week, I talked about false messages.
Okay.
And how we can get these false ideas and false messages kind of rotating in our mind, and it becomes debilitating for us. It becomes that block or that barrier for us.
Right.
And so we really, one thing that we do in counseling, and I know we do it in the faith-based community in the churches, and that's the reason why the Word of God is so such a great part of a healthy lifestyle, is it gives us a positive message that we could draw our strength from.
Yes.
And we don't have to just depend on ourselves.
That's right.
To create some sense of happiness and some sense of hope.
Right.
Because it's we by ourselves.
We can't do it.
It's so it's too difficult, because a whole lot happens to us in life. And if all we have to have is to draw on is our bad experiences, then there's we have a whole world of depressed, hopeless people. Because a whole lot happens to us. We have a lot of bad episodes. You know, again, I want to go back and tell you guys the telephone number. That number is 214-717-4670. The, excuse me, 4678. 214-717-4678. If this resonate with you, you know, if you want to share in this conversation, the phone lines are open. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you to call in. We're not the experts. I mean, I'm a licensed professional counselor, and of course, Bishop here has been helping people for over 50 years. So we have a little bit of experience, but we really would like to hear your input. We want you to you know, tell us, share with us some of your experiences, and the phone lines are open. So as I was saying, you know, we all have some depression, have depressive episodes, and according to these statistics, as I mentioned earlier, 1 in 20 people have had a episode or reported some symptoms of depression, you know, within the past year. So it doesn't mean that they stayed depressed the whole year. It's just they had a time when they felt hopeless and helpless for at least 2 weeks. That's how common this is. And when you put it like that, I think we all, if I said how many people have experienced that feeling of hopeless and helplessness over a 2 week period, I might get more than 1 in 20 to raise their hand.
Right.
Economic situations can make you feel hopeless and helpless. Family situations can make you feel hopeless and helpless. Children acting out.
Yes.
Relationships on your job.
Yes.
All these things can happen to us that at least we could look at it and say, I might have had a mild episode of depression. So there's no stigma or there's no negative association that any of us can add or can bring into depression, right? Because it happens to the majority of people pretty much at least one time in their lives, and even one time a year, or you know, it's just that prevalent.
Yes.
So that's something that I think is really important for us to really draw home with our audience. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone today, and they were telling me about someone who was caring for a loved one. They are a caregiver, and they was having a moment of feeling hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how long that person had been feeling that way,
yes,
but they were feeling hopeless. And even when they were trying to make it sound like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
I'm okay. Everything is fine. Everything's going to be okay. I'm handling this. And it really was coming across. You could tell that level of despair that was really on their shoulders.
Yes.
And how they had an opportunity to just listen to that person, and how much that meant for both the listener and the receiver and the giver, the one who was listening and the one who was speaking.
Right.
Because as the one who was listening was hearing her and was opening her a heart and being present for that person so that she could hear that person, she herself was being healed.
Right. That's right. That's very good. That's very good. Very good. It's so much too that comes out of people understanding what you said. The last word you used was opportunity. Understanding opportunities. Sometimes we let the troubles and the burden of the situation override our view of an opportunity. And sometimes you have to work through the opposition with an opportunity in order to feel the victory of it. Because it's out there. We can help each other in various ways and means. When I think of living, you know, we've always tried to make it so spiritually that we can't be socially helpful one to the other.
That's huge. Yeah.
And I'm seeing so many godly social benefits that we don't take the advantage of.
Oh, wow.
That lift us out of these situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just getting around people, having a good laugh, laughing at funny things that lift that burden and cause your mind to reset itself in in thinking. And we sometimes allow that to be so worldly that we won't give ourselves that opportunity to just have some fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I know that since we have different type of oppression,
depression,
I'm coming to realize that these social get-together has a spiritual opportunity to them, as well as a physical. And and each time we talk about it, the more it become real to me. That sometimes you may have to go look at a movie just to relax your mind. I know that gets from the church, but sometimes that's just a social benefit that you can help yourself in. And but you don't mean that you forget about your relationship with the Lord, but you can do something to help yourself.
Yeah.
And these are social privileges that we have to help ourselves.
As you were saying that, I was thinking about a term that we use in the mental health profession. Being too rigid, you know, having a way of life that puts you in a box.
Right.
Don't allow you the freedom to stretch. Mm-hmm. Don't allow you the freedom to experience and explore. And even when you do find yourself in situations that might not be ideal, you know, you then fall into depression, not because of that situation, but because of what you think about that situation. And so as you were saying that, I was just kind of thinking about that, how that feeling of not being able to enjoy this life because of whatever beliefs that you have, and how that perpetuates this feeling of hopelessness. Because let's say, you know, you're in a situation that you can't seem to pull yourself out of, and then you kind of double down on yourself, and you feel depressed about being depressed. And that's not where we want you to be at all. And you know, that's so even the Lord gives us some freedom. That's where His grace and His mercy comes in, and it envelops us so that we can make mistakes and we can have those moments of feeling hopelessness, but we also can take those moments of feeling hopelessness to turn it into something that we can draw from Him and from others. Draw from Him and from others. And because that's the way He's designed this thing for us. You know, so the other thing, you know, we wanted to talk about is what causes depression. I've kind of given you a whole thing about the statistics, and I've defined it, and we kind of know what it looks like, and but what caused this? You know, there is the chemical imbalance that's present with this, and we don't want to minimize that, because there are some people who have, for whatever reason, have low serotonin, and they suffer from a low affect, you know, depressive affect. They just can't seem to, those chemicals aren't firing in the brain like they're supposed to. But then there's also, even with that, is I heard one, when I was in school, I heard one of my professors kind of explain this to me, and I thought it was eye-opening to me, that when you're in a state of depression and your serotonin has depleted or it's kind of dropped, it starts to become your normal. And so that's when they start to give you medication to rear it up, to get it going again, to increase it. And so a lot of times we, and especially in the faith, you know, in the church, we don't want to take no medication when it comes to we talking about our mind, because you know, the Lord's going to heal us, and the Lord will heal us.
He will.
But I will tell somebody, I had a caller to call in a few weeks ago, and that caller asked me about medication, and I would say the same thing today that I said then. If you take your medication for high blood pressure, if you take your medication for diabetes and anything else, any other medical condition that you, there is nothing wrong with taking medication to regulate the chemicals in your brain. So, you know, we want people, again, as mental health professionals, as pastors, all of us, we want people to live a fulfilled and healthy life. And so if medication is going to get that chemical balance back, then by all means, go to your doctor, go to your psychiatrist, go wherever you need to go to get the prescriptions that's going to help you live a fulfilled life. Then there's also the other thing that cause depression is an overexposure to violence and neglect and maltreatment. So, you know, for women who are in domestic abuse relationships, or children, as we talked earlier about children who are being neglected and children who are in abusive, you know, parent-child relationships, are people who only surround themselves around people who treat them bad. If that's the only friends that you have, or the ones that can talk about you,
get out of it.
Get out of that. that ain't gonna do nothing but cause you to be depressed. If the only people that come around you with their bad news and dumping all they negative stuff on you, that's gonna cause you to be depressed. So you want to, that's what you want to change. You know, when we're living in the urban cities and urban area with, I call it concrete land, you know, And we are just, we're living in a place like that, and we're not able to smell the roses. Mm-hmm. We're not able to breathe in fresh air. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we're concrete babies. Mm-hmm. We tend to kind of not have we get angry. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything around us to soften us up, and so people start acting out. Mm-hmm. And we living in a place sometimes, you know, we living around people that haven't quite learned how to live good lives. Mm-hmm. And so they bring all their violence and mm-hmm. their criminal activity around you. They break in your house, mm-hmm. and they steal your cars, and they, you know, we look at the television and all we see is people dying, people getting killed, and people going mm-hmm. crazy, you know, all this stuff. That becomes depressive. That can't help but be depressed by looking right. at that. If you look at all, you're doing is feeding your mind, that negative stuff, it's gonna cause you to be depressed.
It's gonna cause you to be depressed. Yes.
If you have, this is another one, feeling defeated, having a bunch of life regrets.
Oh yes. That's devastating. That'll shut you down. Yeah, in your tracks. You have to know that come to find there's more in life to live for than to give up to. And we just have to develop that mental perspective of life. Everything don't come by our vision or even come through the sense of knowledge. Much of our awareness of what life is all about is just in the presence of the environment. Every way you look, you see something that goes beyond man's capability, not knowing man can't have nothing to do with. So life just present to us every day reason, opportunities, ways and means every day to help ourselves to cope with the situation that we were are facing. So that's why I say developed the concept that we have far more to trust in and to live for than we have to give up to. So it's always a better life in the future.
Yeah. We're going to take a commercial break. We have some of our commercials that we need to run at this time. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about life regrets, because mm-hmm. that is something that happens that's huge.
Jump in. I'm your own boy, Bayo Bankole, a.k.a. Boy Alinko, Lagos boy in Texas. Turn up every Friday on Afroville, your entertainment radio program. Afroville is ready to unleash enough fun the Naija way. Afroville is driven by the best of Nigeria, Africa, and America music. With trending issues in Nigeria and America, Afroville, broadcasting on Fishbowl, the number one internet radio station worldwide. Join me, Bayo Bankole, a.k.a. Boy Alinko, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. American time, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Nigerian time, and in U.K., 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. every Friday in the Red Bull on Fishbowl Radio Network, number one internet radio worldwide. On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com.
The time has come. Join us September 17th as we celebrate the 7th annual FBRN Internet Radio Host Awards and 7-year anniversary. The night begins at 6 p.m. at the beautiful Casherel Grand Ballroom overlooking the gorgeous Arlington Entertainment District. A night of pure elegance. Tickets only $40 and include a 3-course 5-star plated dinner, live entertainment by award-winning international electric harpist Carlos Geddes, event program, DJ, dancing, network prizes, and more. For more info, call us at 817-633-4880 to get your tickets. Seating is limited, so hurry. You won't want to miss the 7th annual Sharky Awards, showcasing the best of the best here at Fishbowl Radio Network. Jump in. It could happen at any time. If you were affected by the hailstorms this year, a collision could bring you and your family to a halt from getting your vehicle repaired for free. We're here to help. Let us get your hail damage done with no hassle, no time off work, and no time away from your family. It's a free service, so take advantage today. Give us a call at 469-774-4498, 469-774-4498, or visit us at autohailconsulting.com today.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness, coated over dark chocolate cake, made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake. Voted top 3 cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Le Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Le Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Toss Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, Toss Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, whom which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.tosscatering.com today. Toss Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs.
Customize your gear today with Ochuck. Ochuck provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuck.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuck. You think it, they'll ink it.
Share your voice, opinions, creativity, ideas, music. FBRN.us. Fishbowl Radio Network. Jump in.
Alright guys, we're back. We had to take a pause. We had to take a pause to pay a few bills, get some commercials paid, get some commercials played, and hope you enjoyed those commercials. We're back. Still haven't had anyone call in tonight, but that's okay because I believe that this is some good information. And somebody is receiving some information that is opening them up and possibly giving them the courage to get some help, to help them to receive some help and to open them up to going out and maybe even seeking counseling and moving beyond the four walls of their home and reaching out for the kind of help that's going to see them through their time and their episode of depression. So before we were gone, before we took a break here, we were talking about what causes depression. We talked about chemical imbalance and overexposure to violence, and then we were talking about life regrets. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that we look at especially when we're dealing with elderly people.
Right.
Elderly people actually happen to be one of the largest
population
of people who suffer from depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been recognized that they suffer from depression because they are get to the age of 65, 70, and they look back over their life and they have a lot of life regrets. They feel like they have not accomplished what they've wanted to, and then they're looking at the life, the life that is ending, and they looking back at the life that they could have had and probably should have had, and they feel hopeless and helpless, and they are stuck in those depressive episode. They have a depressive episode that could very well last more than 2 years, and therefore they will be diagnosed as persistent depressive disorder. And so that's one thing that I think is important for us, you know, as middle-aged women and men and elderly women and men to consider and to as we're working, we're looking at facing our parents, our parents' lives, and how our parents are going to exit this world. And we're also looking at our lives and how we're going, what mark we're going to make in our life. You know, we really want to be conscious about looking at it through a life of fulfillment. So, you know, I don't know. I just, as I mentioned last week, I just laid to rest my grandmother. And it was sad because I miss her. I miss her so much. But when I looked at her life, I looked at a life of total fulfillment. I was truly able to say that she had accomplished everything she set out to accomplish when she was living. She's actually given me the motivation to step out on faith and to go into territories unknown, like the internet radio. And because she was that kind of a person. Even my dad here, you know, Daddy, how old are you?
82.
82 years old. 82. Not afraid to go to be a voice to a new audience through a new forum so that he could feel that he's done. He's done it all. He's had, he's experienced things. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Dad?
Oh, that is so. It's a privilege to do, and I know I ain't got time for the maximum of it, but I can say that I have lived a life, or that God has allowed me to live a life without these challenges, such as depression and feeling empty and being a violent participant.
So how have you been able to, how is it you've been able to live a life without experiencing those episodes of depression?
I credit it to the new life in Christ that my focus were devoted to. If I'd go back beyond that, I suffered some depression and vexation is what made me recognize the new focus. I recognized the transition because the change that gave me a view on the life that I was transformed into gave me joy, gave me new energy, perspective on life. And that has been the focus from that particular day. And I testify all the time that those bad, what we would call bad days, they were good days. I give them credit for good days because all the things that I went through was an experience in the transition, was the experience of the transition. Because life is full of challenges. But being focused, I was never deterred to never want to change courses. I had made mistakes. I didn't do everything that I should have done. But when I look back over my life, I have more 1,000 times more to be thankful for than I have to regret. I don't feel like I missed that much. I know there's a lot of opportunities was there that I didn't enjoy or that I didn't have, but I do know that what I have had is fulfilling. Blessed to travel over the country, blessed to go to different islands of the world, and it was just you know, if I atomize them all, then I could you know, you would understand what I'm saying. But but it's just staying focused, staying focused and committed with my major components that I give credit to, and it was all focused on during what was right. It was focused on living a righteous life, and wasn't anything hard for me to do. It has always been a joy, and I say all the time, everybody wasn't privileged with that, but I don't care where you are in life, you ought to always count the opportunity greater than the disappointment. Because as long as you are able to breathe and live your life, you have some opportunity.
That's great.
And
that's
you should never succumb to what your past have been, because that don't speak for where you may be being taken by God's grace.
Yes,
So all of that keeps your hope up.
One thing that you said there that really, really kind of is important for anyone to look at is, even when they're looking over their life and they see, they want to look at it in a negative way. They want to look at all of the things that they didn't do. All the things that they didn't have. They might, you know, want to reframe that and look at that in terms of, look at how much you were able to accomplish. You know, instead of using a measure stick that doesn't necessarily belong to you, take the measure stick that you own and say, wow, look at, with the situation that I had to face, look at how much I was able to accomplish. You also said there that you are now able to see that even in the times that you made mistakes, it all worked out for your good.
For my good.
It all kind of moved you to a different place, so you didn't have to feel any regret. You were able to see those things as stepping stones. And so that, I think that's huge. You know, a lot of what we're talking about with overcoming depression is truly a mindset. It's trying to, you know, work with our mental state, work with how we're processing information, so that the thoughts that we're having is serving us, is making us whole, is creating peace for us, and not debilitating us. And so that's what mental health is all about.
That's really what it's all about.
I want to think in a healthy way. I want to have healthy emotions. And so that's really what you, you know, kind of just explained to us. The last one here that causes depression is what I call anger turned inward. And that's when you have situations that happen and you are angry about it, but you're angry at yourself. You're angry at yourself.
That's it.
And being angry with yourself only turns into depression. So, you know, going back again to last week's I hope you all are listening to this show every week, because we're building on it. All the information that we're giving you and that we're sharing with you is information that you can use throughout the week, and it builds on each other. So last week we talked about false messages and how those false messages kind of, get in our head and they get recycled, and we start to operate within those false messages. Well, then we turn around and get angry about operating within those false messages, and you can't blame somebody else, so you blame yourself. And that then turns into depression. because you're now angry with yourself, angry that you couldn't have done something, angry because you should have done something but you didn't do something, angry because you allowed somebody to do something to you when you probably felt like you should have done something different, angry with yourself. And that I say it all the time. Anger turning in with is depression.
Yes, that's where wisdom comes in. If a person would take time to understand wisdom, wisdom is the choice that you make between right and wrong. And if you could just see yourself turning inwardly, all of those angry feelings, emotions, what that's going to resonate and promote in your emotion or towards your emotion and cause you to react in hatred. Now, if you just could use a little godly brain power and say, I can make that work to my future a better life. You can do that if you take time to stop and think. And if you can't think it, it goes back to talk to somebody. That's why counseling is good for you. Need to be able to talk to someone that can listen to you. Just don't be afraid to tell how you feel about yourself, where you are, and what you want to do with you, because you have the power to make a decision to get you out of whatever you're in. Because you suddenly can't get it reaching outside of you. It's just going to impound what you have because the atmosphere is so congested with it. So,
So, but, you know, I want you all to really consider that. Consider how being angry with yourself is really going to, it's never going to help you. It's going to turn into bitterness. It's going to turn into depression. It's going to turn into life regrets, you know, all those things. So want you all to consider that. So I'm going to do this other section here, and then we're going to take another break, try to move through this a little quicker here. Now, there are barriers that keeps us, you know, now that we understand what causes that, why can't we get past this stuff? What's stopping us? You know, we know the symptoms. We got it. We understand that, okay, this is feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, and anger and all these things that I can no longer control, and they have impacted my life in such a negative way that it has, you know, causing me to live a poor quality of life. And so, but I can't stop it. I'm on the roller coaster and I can't get off. So how do I... What is it that's stopping me from doing that? One thing is the stigma. We talked about this earlier. The stigma and attitude about depression. People, unfortunately, depression, you know, we got to put on a front. Even when we're sad, we got to act like we're happy. You know, we see a lot of people that walk around and they say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And they may very well be. But when you can't be blessed and highly favored if you're going home crying every day. Sorry. That's two different things. I understand speaking faith and speaking things that are not as if they are. I understand all that, and I recognize that. But you got to be really honest with yourself first. And if you are one of those people that are suffering with depression and you're not able to pull yourself up by the boots or pull yourself out of this, you need to really be open and honest with yourself as well as others and say, this is not a sign of weakness. This is a mental health issue that needs to be addressed, just as diabetes, just as high blood pressure, just as any other health issue. It is a mental health issue that needs to be addressed.
And how do you define stigma?
Stigma is a negative idea about something. So it's saying weakness. Weakness is a negative a connotation about depression. Mental health, basically. The stigma, this negative stigma, some this stereotype that we have about depression or even about mental health, period, is negative. People think, you know, mental health, when you hear the word mental health, you automatically think mental illness. And it's really not. Mental health is health. Mental illness is an illness. So when we talk about mental health, we're talking about getting you to a place where you can operate in a healthy way. Now, when you ill, you need to go to the hospital. You need to get the right kind of medication, you know, do surgery or do whatever. And that's that is a population that suffers from mental illness. And they have, we hear about them, schizophrenic, you know, bipolar disorders, even major depressive disorder, but that is on that side of the spectrum. When we're talking about mental health, we're talking about the other side. How do you get to that place? Getting to a place where your mind is operating healthy, and what is stopping your mind from operating healthy? I think Joyce Meyer said it best, the battlefield of the mind.
I guess people say that's something, don't come across the street and take control of you. That's a battle.
That's a battle. The battlefield of the mind. You know, people have to go through that battle to get their mind straight so that they can operate and they can do what they need to do in a healthy way. And so that's the reason why, you know, we call it a stigma or attitude that they have about depression, because they think depression is an illness. And it's on that far spectrum. Now, like I said, when you got five or six symptoms, you're dealing with an illness. But when you have one or two, and that's where we want to catch you, is when you have one or two symptoms.
Right.
We're talking about a mental health issue.
Right.
That can be quickly addressed with a little bit of lifestyle modification. So, you know, I say that and I laugh because we hear that all the time when we talk about our physical health. A little lifestyle modification, some good diet, a good diet and some exercise. So same thing happens with mental health. You can overcome some of this stuff with a little lifestyle modification. Get around some good people and get some good stuff in your head.
That's the thing. That's it. You know, I guess that's a good note to invite the people that listening. If you having any kind of problem dealing with yourself, we are here to listen to you and give you an opportunity to release that without condemning you. Feel free, because what we are saying here is what we understand about the situation. But it can resonate with individuals when they face the opportunity to communicate with what we are saying over this
internet.
and just feel free to give us a call. And we love to talk to you and help you in any way we can.
Yeah, we still have a little over 30 minutes in tonight's show, and the phone lines are still open. 214-717-4678. Phone lines are still open. Again, we want to hear from you. We think that there is more information out there than we can share.
Right.
And so the lines are open for you to share with our audience. And so feel free to give us a call. So I'm glad you asked that question about the stigma and attitude, because that's something that our show is built on, which is removing the stigma about mental health and making sure that everybody in our community, everybody in our listening audience, on our Facebook, everybody understand the difference between mental health and mental illness. And that counseling is available, is available for those of us, so that just as a physician is available for us who are physically ill, counseling is available for us who have some challenges with our mental state. The other thing that keeps us from overcoming depression is it says here that we are less likely to seek help, as we just said. Or we it's hard for us to gain access to the right kind of services.
You know, I was just thinking that when you said that, we might be the group that you can connect with. You may not can connect with everybody in their counseling. And that's why that we don't claim to be all in all. We're just a part of what is needed in our society. So we might be the one that you can connect with, and what we are able to share with you can resonate in your heart. So just kind of think in that term, in seeking help.
Yeah, and again, that's what we're here for. We're here to remove the barrier to access because we're in the heart of our community, which is South Oak Cliff, Dallas, Texas. We're in the heart of Dallas, Texas, near Veterans Hospital at 1633 Exeter Street.
Yes.
You can go to our website at www.kcocdallas.org and check us out, because we're there, and we're our goal is to remove this barrier so that people can feel free to just go and receive this type of service.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because when I've kind of been researching this, and I'm expanding my in my kind of my arm and going outside of the community just to see what's available.
Right.
And I go to Plano once a week because I'm for those of you who all do not know, I am kind of pursuing a PhD in counseling at this point. And so I'm working in Plano at one of the counseling clinics there. And I look around and I see how many counseling clinics that are available in that community on the north side of town, and how people just go. I mean, they just go to counseling like they going to shopping because they really understand that that their mental health is at stake.
Yes.
And so that's what we want to do. We want to increase the access because that is one, that is the barrier. That is one major barrier that we have to overcoming depression is gaining access. We all, because, you know, we're as a people, as a community, we tend to seek help in non-traditional ways and non-medical ways when it comes to our minds. You know, the church, we turn to the church, which is a great resource.
Right.
We turn to pastors who are great resources. And so, and one thing I've learned here is that pastors, and this is not by any means diminishing or minimizing the role of the pastor, because the pastors have great roles in our communities, and they really can give us, they should be and can be the pulse of our communities, and so that we know what's going on in our communities.
Right.
But pastors are not always trained in human psychology.
Right.
They're not always trained on the diagnosis criterias of these mental health issues. They may not fully understand, or may not even be able to articulate what all you know, how a person can overcome depression. Sometimes pastors are really, really busy because they have a whole flock of people that they have to take care of. And they might not have all the time to just sit and listen with nothing else going on in their lives but you and them for that period of time. And that's when a counselor is essential in helping and assisting pastors with overcoming these barriers. And so, you know, we want to make sure that people's we get past these barriers. You don't you want to overcome depression, you know, find some, like my dad said, find somebody to talk to. So we want to take a break here, and we're going to take a break just so we can kind of recoup and get our thoughts together for the closing of the show. Look like we're not going to have too many people call in tonight, but I want you guys to write this number down, 214-717-4678. Then again, the number is 214-717-4678. It doesn't change. I'm going to always be in the Red Bowl, and the conversation is going to continue to go on in the Red Bowl. We're going to be right back. And once we come back, we're going to be talking about how we going to overcome depression. We've already kind of we've kind of beat this horse pretty good. We know one thing about this show. At the end of this show, you're going to fully understand depression.
Yeah.
You're going to walk away with knowing how depression is diagnosed, right, and the different types of diagnosis, right, and what caused depression. And we just talked about the barriers from overcoming depression. So as we, if we take a break, want you all to just kind of relax and have a moment where you enjoy this song and kind of pick this song specially for us tonight. Listen to the words of this song. I think it's kind of cool. It's fun and upbeat. And hope y'all enjoy it.
Well, God never promised he would keep me away from all those trials. If I want perfection, I'm gonna have to wait till later. But I ain't tripping, cause he has promised that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's praise him for that.
Take time to let them know this is how we feel about it. Take time to let them know this is how we feel about it. Take time to let them know this is how we feel about
it. Yeah, yes sir, let's go. I know this life may bring pain in a broken heart. I've shed my share of tears, plus I got loads of scars. I've had my ups and downs, my rises and my falls. So sometimes people ask me how I survive it all. Tell them about my Lord, let's get it understood. My King controls it all, and he does it for my good. My Savior brought me, then gave me new life, this in his name. Now when he get me, I know that he'll bring me through the pain. Take time to let them know this is how we feel about them. Take time to let them know this is how we feel about them. Take time to let them know this is how we feel about them. Yes, sir.
Come on, let's go. He ain't gonna give me nothing if it ain't good for me. Sometimes I ask for something that's seeming good to me. But my God is wiser, it's clear he really loves me. Sometimes he tells me no, if not it would be ugly. Don't question him, deny my rest in him. He'll give us all things. He gave the son who bled for sin. My Lord is more than good. It's clear that he delights to give good gifts to his sons and daughters, all those who in Christ are his.
guys, it's all good. It's all good. I hope y'all enjoyed that song. I like that song. I ran across that one today or the other day, and I thought, hey, that's a good song for tonight's show, because at the end of the day, it's all good. Everything works out for our good. And even sometimes even our depression brings us to a place where we can actually help somebody else. We wouldn't know what it felt like if we didn't go through it ourselves. So it's all good. Mm-hmm. Now, we left you all with talking about the barriers to overcome depression. But how do we overcome it? Mm-hmm. How do we overcome it? I have here four different ways. And we've really talked about it. A lot of this we've talked about. We've talked about it. And so want to kind of bring this home. And talk about how do you overcome depression. Depression is so debilitating. It can be debilitating. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the middle of your depression, it feels like it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. And then so I know it's hard, you know, because if you're feeling fatigued, if you're mm-hmm. feeling hopeless, how do you muster up the energy to get it done, to get past that? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some simple things that you can do. One is get some sun.
Yeah, yeah.
Go outside and sit in the sunlight.
Yeah.
A sunny day does more than just boost your mood.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is a natural, it naturally increases your level of serotonin. Mm-hmm. And serotonin is, as I mentioned earlier, that's that chemical that gets depleted when you're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
It's the serotonin mm-hmm. and the, I'm going to try to say this right, I can't say it, y'all. I tried. I spelled it out, and I still can't say it. But the serotonin is what gets depleted in our brain. It's that chemical that gets depleted in our brain mm-hmm. that have to be re-upped. That's when they give you medication. That's when they start putting you on the medication, because you need your serotonin to be released a lot faster. You need more of it to be released. Well, guess what? The sun does that automatically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you mm-hmm. go out and you sit in the sun, they talk about seasonal depression, and somehow people when they get in the cold and in the very rainy and misty place, they just automatically go into depression. And then sometimes they'll tell you to sit under a light, because that bright light just does something to the brain. It stimulates the mind, and it releases that chemical that we need to help us boost our mental, our mood.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying go out and spend an hour or, you know, 45 minutes doing high cardio. Just walk. Take a walk. Better yet, take a walk in the sunshine. And that will help.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise releases endorphin. And endorphin acts with the receptors in your brain to reduce your perception of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So endorphin is something that is automatic, you know. It doesn't require you to go take a pill. Just a little exercise, a brisk walk, hey, you might start to feel a little better. And it may not happen automatically, because, you know, it's going to take a little energy, and it's going to be difficult to even get up out of the bed or get up and go and start walking. But I promise you, once you start walking, you're going to want to walk all the time. You're going to
mm-hmm.
feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other one that you can do is good night's sleep.
Good night's sleep.
Because when you sleep, it restores the brain chemicals and it rests the body.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been spending your time uptight,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. you're spending your time trying to reconcile in your own mind why you're feeling like you're feeling.
Right.
That's exhausting.
Yes.
That's exhausting. And sometimes you just need to shut it down. Shut it down. So getting some rest will actually, you know, help you overcome.
Yes.
And these are free things. These are things that I would tell any client. I would check them every week to see where are they in this process. Have
mm-hmm.
you been able to get any sunshine?
Mm-hmm.
Have you, you know, did you do anything that's going to increase your endorphins? Are
yes.
you... or how you sleeping. You know, I would actually start right there with any client that comes in with me, and I see them with signs of depression. Okay, the other one, which we've talked about tonight, is that social component, that social support, and how the social support helps support healthy development. It supports your ability to live. I mean, we are social beings.
Yes, yes.
That's the way God created us.
Yes.
We're social beings, and we need one another.
That's right.
And so, you know, if you are living with somebody or you know someone who is suffering from depression, you can help them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can help them by being there for them.
Being there, yeah.
You can help them just by showing up.
Right, right.
Cook them a little meal. Sit down, tell them a joke.
Yeah.
Go get a funny, you know, rent a funny movie and just sit there and crack up. And even if they're depressed, you laugh. Laughter is contagious.
Right. Right.
It changes the atmosphere.
Right. Right. Right.
And you were saying something, Dad, about how so that social support is a part of God's order for us.
Well, it's the energy that we all live with within us that we draw from each other just by being around. And I give a demonstration on when you live in a house, how that house survives as long as it's got someone in there.
Oh, yeah.
When the people move out of the house starts decaying. And it's because that energy from the human being has something to do with the interior of the walls and that home. We can't see it, but that's that godly presence that is there. And it's just something that we draw from each other every day. That's why we can't live without each other. You got to have some people around you to survive. That's just natural. And when you recognize that, you can think how much just being in the company of your family, friends, whoever, that you're drawing energy that helps you in your physical body, your mental strength, all of that you're getting that, but you can't see it. So you just have to recognize the importance. And anytime you have an opportunity to laugh, you ought to be laughing and just stretching yourself out. You have an opportunity to do something good towards somebody, take the advantage of that as a good gesture to your soul environment, and that's what helps your attitude, so that you won't be so crammed with things that you don't want to live with, don't want to deal with. So social support is vital in the in this world. Yeah, it's just vital to the human being.
Yeah, I wrote here that it's promotes factors and for coping and dealing with challenges.
Right.
It means a lot when you have somebody to go through something with.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned here, this is one thing you mentioned about when a house decays and because there's no life in there. That's what happens when you start to isolate yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's one thing that depression does. That's it causes you to isolate.
That's right.
And so when you, it takes the life out of you, and
it
takes
it does
that social component out, and you end up, you know, isolating yourself, and it just drives you deeper and deeper into depression. So one way to overcome it is to be social.
Right. That's it.
And again, I say it again, if you know someone who is suffering with depression, who is may even have, they're at that two symptoms. They have mild depression. Then you, friend, you, family member.
Right.
You take the step go and be social with that person. That is what's going to bring that person out.
Right.
When I was in a time when I experienced some difficulty in my life, and I really was depressed, I had a friend who would come and pick me up and just take me to dinner. And I really was, she told me, she said, you just look like you were numb. Mm-hmm. But she would come and she would just take me to dinner, and we'd have dinner and we'd talk, and she'd bring me back home. But she would, I remember feeling like that was when I was with her, those were the moments I felt normal.
Right.
Those were the moments I felt like, you know, this is what my life is supposed to be like.
Right.
But had she left me alone and never came to see me, and no one had ever come to see me, that depressive state would have become my normal.
Right.
And so I continue to thank God for her, because she was that person, that social component that came in.
Right.
Even in a time when I couldn't do it for myself.
Right.
She came in.
Right.
And she brought me out. And so, you know, that's a big thing that we should, we want to look at. First, I don't want you to be thinking that depression is a negative thing. Mm-mm. Because if you're looking at it and you're thinking depression is something negative, then you're not going to be able to help somebody else.
Right.
You're not going to be the right kind of support for him.
Right.
So first, I want you to understand that depression is no different than having symptoms of diabetes, having symptoms of high blood pressure.
Right.
And when we are dealing with family members with physical stuff, now we'll sit down and we'll talk to them about not eating too much sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to them about kind of cutting back on the salt.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to manage that and to address those things in a loving way. This is also an extension of our love,
and how we are
to support one another through their depression,
and the way we
help them through their depression. Yeah. You can't help them if you're going to them saying, "Girl, you got to get up out of that bed and get on." No, that's not the right way to do it. Because if she could, she would.
Mm-hmm.
If he could, he would.
Mm-hmm.
But as a friend, as a loved one, our role in helping someone overcome depression is to be present, to be that listening ear, to be that person who just simply come in and maybe, like I said, pop in a movie while they laying in bed. You lay beside them and you just chuckle and have yourself a good time, and you just change the atmosphere, change the energy in the room with your laughter.
Right.
So the other one is reframe the false message. We talked about that again.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to live with thoughts that are self-helping.
Right.
And eliminating thoughts that are self-defeating.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a counselor comes in.
Right.
Because it's not something that you can easily do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes those false messages get so wrapped up in our thoughts, we don't even know they're false.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are our truth.
Right. Right.
And they are messing us up and causing us to be depressed.
Right.
And so you definitely want to reach out to a counselor or a mental health professional or a professional helper.
Yeah.
To someone who is going to help you, who's going to listen to you and just challenge those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have this thought, if you are depressed because somehow you feel like nobody's ever going to love you, it's going to take somebody that's going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be able to walk with you as you realize you are still a lovable person and that somebody may love you.
Mm-hmm.
There is still someone out there that's going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
So reframing that false message is a way that we overcome depression. Last but not least is practice self-care.
Self-care.
I'm going to do a show on self-care at some point because that's so huge.
Yeah.
I like to use the story or the example when I talk about self-care of mothers that go up in a plane, take a plane ride with their babies, and how the airline attendant has to stand before the women, the mothers, and say, in case of loss of oxygen, you know, in case the plane loses oxygen and the mask come down, they have to tell the mothers, if you're traveling with your child, put the mask on yourself first. And then take care of your children. Because as women, as mothers, as caregivers, we always take care of other people before we take care of ourselves. And the only people that lose out on that one is us. And that, and the same thing happens, you know, they have to tell us that in the airline because if they don't tell us, automatically, our automatic response is going to be, I got to save this other person. That's our automatic response. And so we have to consciously know we have to take care of ourselves. We have to stop and say, okay, is this going to be best for me or is this going to be best for the other person? If it's not going to be best for me, then I'm going to have to trump that other person. Because I got to do what's best for me. Because if I'm not doing what's best for me, I'm not going to be any good for the other person. Now, that's hard. And, you know, I again, I'm going to have to do a show on self-care because self-care, we have a lot of guilt around self-care because we feel obligated. We feel responsible. But I tell you, we're going to have to reframe that one.
I'd just like to challenge someone out there that I feel that is saying that whether they have the Bible to back up what they're saying, be social. So I just want to give you this as a challenge to just look at and read, and you got the number to call, and we'll discuss it. You read the Beatitude of Jesus in the first chapter of Matthew's, and we'll discuss the social demand on man's life in that sermon. So it's just a human connection that I'm challenging you with to look at Matthew chapter, I believe it's 3, the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mountain.
Yeah. Well, I think we've kind of hashed this one pretty good. What do you think?
Very good. Very good. To me, yeah, I think it's good.
Well, as always, you know, I want to make sure that we leave you all with some resources. Remember, the Cunningham Counseling Clinic is open. It is open and it is available for anyone who... It is open and it's available for anyone who is seeking counseling and who just simply needs someone to sit with them and listen with them. You know, I say this, and I think some people kind of take it the wrong way when I say it. It is not because I am vested. I am vested in whether you succeed or you fail. And I say that this way because, I, you know, as a counselor, my I do not want anyone to think that I am a counselor and my identity is in, is based in whether or not you succeed. I want you to be vested in whether or not you succeed. Because my role as a counselor is to be available for you. As you walk through the process of recovery, of overcoming. I'm available to pray with you, to sit with you, to listen to you. I find my greatest fulfillment in watching you overcome barriers that are stopping you from living a fulfilled life. And so the Cunningham Counseling Clinic is available. It's open. We're there for our community. So if you know someone who is struggling with these with depression and they're seeking help, or if you need to reach out and access available resources, a resource that's in your community, we're there. We're available. It's a donation to the church. It's a donation to the church. I believe that this is, I feel so strong about this that I don't want anything to be a barrier between you becoming a whole healthy person.
Yes.
I don't want anything to be a barrier between
right,
that.
Right.
I want to make sure that this is easy for you.
Right.
And that it is a simple phone call or email to me that says, I need you to talk. I need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're finding yourself in this situation, remember, you better call Kim.
All right.
Because I'm going to be there for you.
All right.
I'm going to be there for you. The other two resources that I always have to leave you with, you know, is the Oakland Bible Fellowship Counseling Clinic. They're available. They're on Cockrell Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're available. It is a professional courtesy, and it is something that I think is important that we must do as counselors,
mm-hmm.
Which is to let people know that resources are they're different resources. They're mm-hmm. vast. They're available. They're mm-hmm. If it ain't me, mm-hmm. then go to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Don't let it be, I don't want to see Kim, mm-hmm. stop you from getting the help that you need.
Right, right, right.
So Oakland Bible Fellowship is staffed with many counselors, and they have really good resources over there. And then there's also the UNT Counseling Clinic at UNT Dallas, which is off of Old Houston School Road. I believe mm-hmm. it's University Road Boulevard or something like that mm-hmm. now. All these are like right in the hub of Oak Cliff, mm-hmm. right there, where it's a 5, 10, 15 minute drive from where most people in Oak Cliff live.
Yeah.
If you can't go south, you can go east.
Right.
If you can't go east, you can go west. But you're gonna run across one of those streets
mm-hmm.
if you're driving around Oak Cliff at some point in time. So I want you all to not let anything be a barrier. And all those resources that I just gave you, they're either free or they are very, very inexpensive. As I like to say, it's cheaper than a copay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper than a copay. We recognize that this is such a needed service in our community that most of these entities have developed some either pay scale that's based on your income,
mm-hmm.
or it's either free.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our show tonight.
All right, give a word of prayer as we leave.
Okay, we're gonna have a prayer and then we'll let the music play.
Yes, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with our people throughout this media that we are serving us, and we know that you're in what we are doing and that you're going to bless it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Bless all the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I forgot to say, listen, if you enjoyed the show tonight, give me some feedback. I want to hear from you on Facebook. The Facebook page that is available is the Cunningham Counseling Center. And I think if you just look it up, Cunningham, and that's spelled K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, like coin, O-N-I-A, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. If you look that up and give me a little feedback, tell me what you think about the show, I want you to let me know. Let me know. I'm doing it from my heart, and your feedback really, really means a lot to me. So, again, enjoyed you tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show. And you all have a great day. And remember, if you're feeling a little down, if you're having a bad day, or you just need somebody to talk to, you better call Kim.
One thing I learned about life,
one life,
is everybody can't like you. They like you.
One life.
What that really mean at the end of the day? You only gotta answer to one man. One man.
One life.
You better know who you are. And I'm D1.
So tired of riding the fence. Feel like the law looking down, like D, I ain't convinced.
afraid to proudly claim my Christianity. Unashamed, this position sanctified with a vision down the ride. Ain't tripping, devil trying to catch me slipping. Now I be on television, so all of the stakes risen. Not gonna die, go to prison. Not a product of the system. Nah, I'm rebelling and telling my brethren that with the media yelling and selling won't get them to heaven. No, sir. Get deep with me. Jesus died for my sins on the cross, but this girl trying to sleep with me. Should I do it and satisfy my flesh? Or make up some excuse like, oh, I forgot the latex? Or do I man up and say, she gon' make fun of me? Not no more, cause I probably submit to this Bible sitting in front of me.
I'm caught up in the sin. I wonder if I know I'm a